الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين مولا يصلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. As was discussed, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم personally went out in 27 expeditions or ghazawat, and he sent out many more expeditions. In those times, because of the difficulty of travel and also because of Sahaba radiallahu anhum not having enough conveyances, the journeys would take a few days, and depending how far the destination was, depending how long the expedition was, a lot of time would be spent by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum out of Medina Munawwara on these expeditions. Therefore, this chapter of the Maghazi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a very important chapter of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and is also a very important chapter of our deen. Therefore, we find that the ulama of the past place great emphasis on the Maghazi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous mufassir, muhaddith, and historian Abu al-Fida ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions, وَهَذَا الْفَنْ مِمَّا يَنْبَغِي الْإِعْتِنَاءُ بِهِ, that this science is important. It is important that attention be given to this important science. وَالْإِعْتِبَارُ بِأَمْرِهِ, and that people focus and take lesson and ponder on these Maghazi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The grandson of Sayyiduna Ali and Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anhuma, famously known as Imam Zainul Abideen, Ali ibn al-Husayn radiallahu an, he used to say, kunna nu'allamu maghazi Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kama nu'allamu surata min al-Quran, that we would be taught the Maghazi and the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like how a surah of Quran is taught. So how a child is taught the surahs of Quran, that is how we would be taught the Maghazi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Zuhri rahimahullah, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri rahimahullah, a great muhaddith, who is known as the first person to gather the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to collect the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to mention, fi ilmi al-maghazi khayru dunya wal akhirah, that in the knowledge of the Maghazi and battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the goodness of dunya and the akhirat. The son of Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an, Muhammad bin Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, he says that my father used to teach us the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thereafter he would say, ya baniya hadhihi sharafu abaikum, that oh my children, this is the pride, this is the honor of your forefathers. So teaching our children the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can understand the importance of it from here, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum taught this to their children. And inshallah, if our children grow up with the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will be inclined and they will be attracted to the Mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they will not look for anyone else as a role model, or they will not follow any other so-called celebrity. So the importance of this, that instilling the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the love for the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the lives of our children. But then he further goes on to say, hadhihi sharafu abaikum, that this is the pride and this is the honor of your forefathers. So in deen and as Muslims, our pride and our honor is not material. Our honor is deen. Our honor is deeni sacrifice. So this was the way Sahaba radiallahu anhum would pride themselves, that my father took part in Badr. My father was part of Bay'atul Ridwan. My father accepted Islam before Fath Makkah. This was the pride of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this is the pride of this ummah. Material possessions and material achievements, degrees and owning of properties and assets, etc. This is not the pride of this ummah. A few weeks ago, alhamdulillah, Allah had blessed us to go to Afghanistan. There it's common. When they introduce people, they introduce based on the qurbani that was given for deen. This man, he took part in the Russian jihad. This person here, so many of his children became shaheed. This man, two children became shaheed. This person was injured here. This person spent so many years in jail. So this is the way people are introduced, based on qurbani for deen. We met one person, approximately 80 years of age, six sons of his became shaheed. And the tartib in his house was, every time the body of one son came home, the next son was sent out. One son, only his legs came back. He was attacked in a bomb, or became shaheed in a bomb attack, and only half of his body remained. So, when people introduce like this, this is the way the ummah and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is introduced. This reminded me of the incident perhaps of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, that once he went to Pakistan and many of the government officials were there in the gathering, and they began to introduce them. This is the minister of this department, and this is this minister and this minister. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi was annoyed and he was upset, and he said that this is not the way that this ummah introduces themselves. This ummah introduces based on the qurbani that is given for deen. So, هَذِهِ شَرَفُ أَبَائِكُمْ. This is the honor and this is the pride of your forefathers. فَلَا تُضَيِّعُوا ذِكْرَهَا. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu used to tell his children that make sure you continue remembering it. You don't neglect this chapter. Therefore, it is extremely important for us to discuss these maghazi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and take the important lessons that we can take from it. One of the very important benefits is that we appreciate the sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum for the sake of deen. And the deen that came to us came with a lot of qurbani, with a lot of sacrifice. So we learn to appreciate their sacrifice. And we appreciate the contribution of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because in every battle, we will find that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum played a very integral role. They played a very important role. We will appreciate the sacrifices of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Allah forbid, a person will not have ill feelings and negative sentiments towards the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Before the battle of Badr, which alhamdulillah we already discussed, there were four small ghazawat that had taken place. So the first ghazwa and the first expedition that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone out personally was a battle that was known as Ghazwatul Waddan or Ghazwatul Abwa. Two names have been given to this battle because there were two places that were nearby. Approximately 6 to 8 miles apart, these two places were between Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Munawwara. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left on the 12th of Safar in the second year after Hijrah. The 12th of Safar in the second year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left with 60 muhajirin. There were no Ansari Sahaba radiallahu anhum part of this expedition. 60 muhajirin, and the target was a caravan of the Quraysh. So there was a caravan of the Quraysh that was traveling between Syria and Makkah Mukarrama, and they had to pass by Madinah Munawwara or near to Madinah Munawwara. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum left in pursuit of this caravan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed the famous Ansari Sahabi Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu an on Madinah Munawwara. He appointed him in charge of Madinah Munawwara, and there was a white flag in this battle which was given to Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu an. By the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum reached this area, they had missed the caravan. The caravan had already departed. Here they met the leader of the Banu Damra tribe. Some historians are of the opinion that it happened by coincidence, and some are of the opinion that this was also part of the aims and objectives of this expedition to fight against the Banu Damra tribe. Nevertheless, here they met the leader of the Banu Damra tribe, Makhshi ibn Amr, and he entered into an agreement and a treaty with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The gist of the agreement was that their lives and their property will not be interfered with, it will be left safe, and they will not fight themselves, they will not fight against the Muslims, and similarly they will not assist anyone that fights against the Muslims. And furthermore, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them for assistance to fight against an enemy, then they will assist as well. So this was a very strategic alliance that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had formed with this Banu Damra tribe. Obviously, it was for the benefit of the Muslims. Every condition was in favor of the Muslims. The conditions were placed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So it was very strategic because they were on the road between Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Munawwara. So having this kind of alliance and this kind of agreement with them would be in the interest of the Muslims. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into this agreement with the Banu Damra tribe, and thereafter he returned to Madinah Munawwara. This expedition had taken approximately 15 days. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left on the 12th of Safar, 15 days, which meant that he returned at the end of Safar. Thereafter, in the next month thereafter, in Rabi'ul Awwal, the second year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for the next expedition. From here we will understand how short the time was when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent in Madinah, Madinah Munawwara. So in Rabi'ul Awwal, some historians say Rabi'ul Akhir, the second year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left with 200 muhajireen on the second expedition, which was known as the Ghazwa of Buat. Here also, there was a white flag, and this flag was given to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed an Ansari Sahabi, Sa'ib bin Uthman bin Maz'un radiyallahu anhuma, as the person in charge in Madinah Munawwara. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's target was a caravan of the Quraysh, which was led by Umayyah bin Khalaf, a famous leader of Makkah Mukarramah. And there were 2,500 camels in this caravan, which meant there was a lot of wealth in this caravan. And there were 100 people of Makkah Mukarramah and of the Quraysh that were part of this caravan. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached this place, Buat, again, he got news that the caravan had left and he had missed the caravan. Thereafter, after returning to Madinah Munawwara, so either in Rabi'ul Awwal or Rabi'ul Akhir, this expedition had taken place. The next expedition was in the month of Jumad al-Ula or Jumad al-Ukhra. So, approximately 1.5 months apart between these two expeditions, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves Madinah Munawwara with 150 muhajireen, 30 camels on which they would take turns to ride. The flag again was a white flag given to Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu, and Abu Salama radiallahu anhu was appointed over Madinah Munawwara. Here, the target was the caravan of the Quraysh of 1,000 camels and 50,000 dinars, which was led by Abu Sufyan. This was the same caravan that was the target and the aim at the time of Badr. That was on the return. This was when they were still going to Syria. They were traveling from Makkah Mukarramah to Syria. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to intercept it on this occasion as well. This caravan was a very wealthy caravan, because there were 1,000 camels and 50,000 gold coins. Historians have mentioned that every person in Makkah Mukarramah, besides one person, every other person in Makkah Mukarramah invested whatever wealth they had. Whatever wealth they had was invested in this caravan. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in pursuit of this caravan. There were 27 or 39 people in this caravan. Here again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam missed this caravan. He reached a place called Ushayra, and he realized that the caravan had already departed. And here he signed a treaty with the Banu Mudlid tribe. So there was another alliance that was formed on this occasion with the Banu Mudlid tribe. An important point to understand is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pursuing these caravans of the Quraysh. As we had explained, that the Quraysh had made up their minds, and they were adamant on this point that they were going to wipe out Islam and the Muslims. So they had started off the war from their side. The war was already from their side. The persecution was ongoing in Makkah Mukarramah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the way that they would be able to cause harm to the Quraysh, And they would be able to bring financial difficulty and losses to the Quraysh was by intercepting these caravans. Something similar to what's going on in the Red Sea today. Just for us to put ourselves in the picture. So what's going on in the Red Sea is that apparently that whatever supplies are going to the enemy is being intercepted. So in this way, a lot of financial losses will be caused to the enemy. So this was the plan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although they had missed all these caravans, it may seem that they were not successful. However, they were still successful. Because the fact that they came out to pursue the caravan already gave a very loud message to the enemy. The message that was given to the enemy that is, we are in the position to attack you, to attack your caravans. And your trade route, which you depend on, this trade route is no more safe. Therefore, this was these expeditions were very successful. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum may have not intercepted these caravans, it was still beneficial and it still gave a very loud message of the strength of the Muslims and the danger which the enemy now were facing. So on this occasion also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum missed the caravan. However, when this caravan was returning, they tried to intercept this caravan, and that finally led to the battle of Badr. Before the battle of Badr, there was another smaller expedition that had taken place. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned from the Ghazwa of Ushayra, and he spent less than 10 nights in Medina Munawwara. Less than 10 nights in Medina Munawwara, and he got news that one of the leaders of the Kufar, Qurz bin Jabir al-Fihri, he had come to the pastures and the grazing lands of Medina Munawwara, and he had attacked the animals of the Muslims. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to pursue him, he left Medina Munawwara, appointing Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu an in charge of Medina Munawwara. A white flag was given to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached a place named Safawan, which was near Badr. Therefore, this battle is also known as the first Badr, Ghazwatu Badrin al-Ula, or Ghazwatu Badrin al-Sughra, the small Badr, or the first Badr, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached close to the place of Badr, a place called Safawan, and here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he reached, he received news that this person, Qurz bin Jabir, had already escaped and he had gone far away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to Medina Munawwara, and very shortly thereafter, in the month of Ramadan, the second year after Hijrah, was the famous Battle of Badr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu on our behalf, the best of reward for all the qurbani and the sacrifice that they made. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us with the maghazi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayhi.